You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've done. I'm glad this morning that regardless of where we've been or what we've done, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not from some sin, but from all sin. Amen? I want you to turn with me, if you will, in the Word of God this morning to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. So again, had a great week at Vacation Bible School. Appreciate all the help. And a lot of work goes into that. It's worth it all. You see a soul saved, eternity altered. And one of the reasons, I was telling somebody I think this past week, one of the reasons that we stick with it, because you said, man, it's a lot of work. Sometimes you might have 40, 50 kids. And so is the reward versus the work. And of course, one soul is worth it all. But I talk to so many people out as I'm witnessing to folks, talking to folks, we're knocking doors and those things, that their testimony, very, very seldom do I ever go out that I don't talk to somebody, and you find out, of course, you begin to talk to them, you ask them about when they got saved, and it was at a Vacation Bible School. And so God's used that throughout the year so many times, and to see people saved. And so we're thankful for what He allowed us to see this week, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 30, if you're there with me, say amen. Bible says, verse number 1, and it came to pass, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and beheld it. Behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself, the Lord his God, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Look at verse number 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, gave him bread he did eat, and they made him drink water. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for a wonderful day you've given us already. Lord, for the song service, for the Sunday school hour, for all that's already been accomplished this morning. We praise you for it. We thank you for it, for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we just pray now for the next few moments you would arrest our attention. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to do a work in hearts that I cannot do. Lord, I pray you'd convict sinners of sin and convict saints of sin, but I pray you'd give us some comfort this morning. I pray that, Lord, you would scoot up beside somebody who needs you the most, and that you would give them a peace that passes understanding. I pray this morning that you cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, use me as your vessel. Bid my stammering lips of clay help me to say nothing that does not need to be said, oh, but everything that does. We pray above all things in the name of Jesus would be lifted up this morning. We ask you in Christ Jesus' name, amen. I believe this passage of Scripture that we just read can be one of the most life-changing passages in the Word of God. For many people this morning, if we'll learn some things from it. I believe it can bring hope to somebody this morning. I believe that it can bring help to somebody this morning. I believe that this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning and this event that happened in David's life can bring even happiness back to somebody's world this morning. I remember covering this passage some time ago on Wednesday nights when we went through the series on the life of David. And I knew then that there was just something special about 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I knew there were some real jewels in this passage of Scripture. to those who are hurting, to those who seem helpless, to those who are dealing with maybe a heartache, to those who are dealing with some heartbreak. Something has went wrong in their life. There's something very special in this passage for you. It seems over the past several weeks, especially, that the devil has been working overtime in the lives of many believers. I believe, now I want to be careful because there's some things that happen in our life I believe we give the devil credit for, and in fact it's God trying us and testing us and helping to grow and mature us and get us to the place that He wants us to be. But the truth of the matter is this morning, as you've heard said, there are broken hearts on every pew, in every row. There are folks here this morning, you know, I don't know the gamut of problems that are in this building as far as every single thing in every life, but I know some of them. But this morning there are people in this room that have financial burdens, and they got more month left at the end of the money than money left at the end of the month, and there's a obstacle, there's a problem, there's some great hurdle, something that they can't do it on their own, and it's bigger than anything they can do. There are folks here this morning that not only a financial problem, but that are dealing with physical problems, and maybe they're hurting, maybe there's some pain riddled through their body, maybe there's a sickness, maybe there's some other type of physical ailment, but physical problems, and we know that these old bodies wear out. Folks here this morning, no doubt, that are dealing with emotional problems, and they've carried the load, and it's just more is piled on, and more has been piled on, and more has been piled on, and that place where they feel like, I can't carry any more, I can't take it any further. And they're at their place of desperation, wit's end. And many times, the fact of the matter is, in the midst of our problems, sometimes in the midst of our trials, many times in the middle of our troubles, in the middle of we become consumed and we become paralyzed by fear, we become paralyzed by the situation to the point that if we be honest, we don't even know how to react. We don't know which way to turn next. We don't know what to do next, and we can't figure out or decide what move we ought to make next, and we keep asking ourselves over and over, how should I deal with this situation? How can I rise to this problem? How can I overcome what's in front of me? How can I begin to approach and deal with the pain that's in my life? And so for the next few moments, as we take a look at this passage, I want to preach on this thought. What to do when you don't know what to do? What to do when you don't know what to do? Let's just face it this morning, folks. Let's be honest, all right? There are times in our life where we don't know what to do. You ever been there? There's times in our life, as spiritual as we are, and we can put on our Sunday best, and we can dress up and put on our coats and put on our ties and put on our dresses and those kinds of things. But let's just be honest for a moment. There are times in our life where we become consumed and something smacks us in the face or hits us over and over and over again to the point we don't know what to do. We don't know what move to make next, and we become paralyzed in our situation. Can I tell you, I talk to people on a weekly and especially here recently, seem like on a daily basis, whose life has been turned upside down. Tragedy has struck their family. A loved one has been in an accident. A family member just got the diagnosis of cancer. A son or daughter has walked away from God. An unexpected financial obligation can't be met. It's just been dumped in somebody's lap. A husband's lost his job and nobody's hiring. A daddy has walked away from his three children and his wife, and over again there's some loved one that's been picked up by the police. A husband's just found out his wife was unfaithful. A wife just found out her husband was unfaithful and been caught in some mess. And listen, every single day almost we find and we hear from people who's dealing with and going through some of the greatest tragedies there's ever been. Almost every day I get a call from somebody else's whose life has been turned upside down. Just talked to a lady recently. Her husband ran off, left her, left the kids. She has no family here. Don't know what they're going to do. They got their last day in the motel, and then what are you going to do? And I'm telling you, folks, it's the world in which we live, and Christians are not exempt from problems. Many members of this church have gone through or going through things that are, just seem unbearable. Just seem impossible. Circumstances have arose in your life and your world's literally been turned upside down. As I look at the passage this morning, David and his men find themselves in one of the greatest trials in all their life. They headed out thinking they're going to battle. That's what they planned, to go out and fight. And in fact, David was planning to fight against his own people. It's an amazing story. If we had time, we'd go through it. Many of you know it because we went through it some time ago. But he was going out. He found refuge in the Philistines. By the way, I want to say the enemy is never the place to find refuge. He found refuge there with the Philistines. And so they're going to go out and fight with the Philistines against the children of Israel. By God's grace, he was spared from doing that. They get over there and the Philistines say, "We don't want them guys fighting with us. Man, we get in the middle of the battle, they'll turn on us. We don't want, just send them back. We don't want David and his men." And so David was spared from having to fight. And so they begin to head back home. It's a 3-day journey. And as they head back home, no doubt they're missing their wives. No doubt they're thinking about their children. No doubt they're thinking about missing their beds and all that encompasses the homes that we live in. It's just been another day of work for them. Just another day at the office for them. And so they're heading back, and the closer they get, the anticipation begins to build. And the anticipation begins to build. They're ready to see their family. They're ready to see their children. They're ready to see their wives. But as they begin to approach the city, something doesn't look right. As they begin to get closer and closer, no doubt something does not seem right, and they get that sick feeling in their stomach. As they get closer and closer, the scene looked worse and worse. They find the entire city, the Bible tells us here, had been burned with fire. Their wives had been taken. Their sons had been taken. Their daughters had been kidnapped and taken. All of their stuff had been taken and was gone. And in just a moment of time, out of nowhere, without expecting it at all, they found themselves in the storm of their life. Who knows that we're just one phone call away from being on our knees? We're one phone call away from our world being turned upside down. What had just been another day at the office for these men had turned into a day of terror. Their world had literally been turned upside down. Everything that they loved, everyone that they loved, had been taken away. Just like that, their whole world came crashing down around them. They didn't know what to do. Here, they didn't know where to turn. They did not know how to proceed. It seemed like life had come to a screeching halt for them. At this point, they did not know what move to make next. And David, as well as these men, they were so broken and they were so torn up and they were so distraught. They were so distressed. They were so depressed. They were so depleted that the Bible says, look at it in verse number 4, that they cried till they couldn't cry anymore. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? Have you ever been to that place I'm talking about where you've cried out to God and you've brought it to God and you've brought it to the Lord, and over again you've worried about the problem, you've tried to deal with the problem, and you've been all torn up about the problem? The Bible says that they wept until they could not weep anymore. You ever left, maybe out going to the office or going to the job or going out on your daily routine, just everything as normal, and all of a sudden you get that call. All of a sudden you get that news, bad news, whatever it may be. And if all that wasn't bad enough, here we see his wives are gone. He's in the trial of his life. His children's gone. His food is gone. All of his stuff is gone. The cities have been burned with fire. There's no place for them to stay. They have no refuge anymore. And if that wasn't bad enough, we see here David's men even turn on him. Look with me at verse number 5 and verse number 6. David's two wives were taken captive, Hinnom the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Watch verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, watch this, for the people, you know what the people was? That was his men. The people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughter. And of course David got the blame. I tell you something, when you wake up in that situation, even his own men spake of stoning him instead of grieving together. Instead, they turned against each other. And so he doesn't even have the comfort of his own men to grieve with people that can understand what he's going through. When you come back like that, it's a desperate situation. When you come like that, back like that, it's a bad deal. He's already grieving over those he loved. Everything is gone. Everyone is gone. Now he may even die. And honestly, at this point, David probably wanted to. But in his tragedy and trial, David finds himself in this problem, and with his world being turned upside down, here with what seemed to be a life-ending situation, world falling apart situation for David, he makes some decisions, and I want you to notice this morning, he takes some steps that changes everything. Once again, we see the wonderful and wise character of David, and hence he's called the man after God's own heart. We look at several things this morning, and I want to learn some lessons of what to do when you don't know what to do. I want you to notice, number one, the Bible says here in verse number 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David, now watch this, encouraged himself in the Lord. This is no doubt one of the greatest statements that's ever been made. This ought to be something that we have written somewhere. It definitely ought to be marked in our Bible. It ought to be something that we never forget, that we carry around with us. Listen, I want to tell you something. David was at a place where there was no one else to encourage David. David was at a place where his own men had even forsaken him. David was at a place that the wife was gone, the children were gone, the stuff were gone. There was nothing else left but just simply ashes from a burnt down city. And David came to a place in his life where he understood, there's one place I can go. They sing the song, where could I go but to the Lord? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. No doubt one of the greatest statements here, David is between a rock and a hard place. Here David is, he's at his wit's end. The situation seems hopeless. It's a bad situation, yet here with his back against the wall, somehow David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can I tell you something this morning, friend? There are times in our life where our circumstances and our situation does not bring any joy and does not bring any happiness. There are times, listen, in our life where we're in a dark place with our backs against the wall, and our situation not going to bring any happiness. When we look out there, the situation looks hopeless. We look out there, there seems to be no way. Are we supposed to sit around and be discouraged? Are we supposed to allow ourselves to remain depressed? Are we supposed to give up or give in to the situation at hand? Not for a minute. Can I tell you this morning, as a child of God, you and I ought to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Oh, yes. Can I tell you, boy, we sung the song just a moment ago. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, amen. I don't know. Listen, we know who holds tomorrow. We ought to be able to glory when there's nothing else we can glory in. Thank God we can always glory in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad this morning we can glory in the fact He's my God. I'm glad this morning I can glory in the fact I'm His child. Psalms 27, verse number 1, the psalmist cries out, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know something? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God I've been pardoned. Thank God I've been set free. Thank God I have a home in heaven. Hallelujah. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. We ought to never get over the fact that God looked past our fault and saw our need. He lifted me way further up. He reached way further down than I could ever reach up. And God looked past who we are and dealt with our need. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. He reached down his hand for me. The Bible says here, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The Word of God tells us here with his back against the wall, David, when the storm was raging the hardest, when the waves were coming the highest, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, it's amazing. It was in times like these that David, the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel, wrote some of the greatest psalms in all the Bible that's encouraged so many people down through the sands of time. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, he says, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my trouble. Oh, listen, we could go on and on. This is some of the greatest psalm that was written during David's time of distress. Child of God, don't you let the problems defeat you. Don't you let the devil destroy you or rob you of your joy of being a Christian. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So how is it David encouraged himself in the Lord? If he was able to find comfort and encouragement in the Lord, then that means the Lord must have done something for David in the past. If David could encourage himself in who God is and what God is and what God can do, there must have been a time in David's life where the Lord had done something for him before. I want you to go with me quickly to just back a few pages to chapter 17. There was something that made David have faith and confidence that God could handle this. I'm glad in those times, sometimes we carry a load, and we finally come to the place, Lord, I'm not going to carry it anymore. If you don't do something with it, then I'm just going to leave it here. And that's when God likes to pick it up. Can I tell you this? He don't need your help. He don't need my help. Oh, if it's not bigger than we are, he don't want no part of it. Look with me, chapter 17, verse number 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Many of you know the story here. Years before, as a teenager, David had been a shepherd boy. One day he's out there keeping those sheep, and a lion and a bear came out trying to kill the sheep. David's giving his testimony to Saul because he's trying to get Saul to allow him to go fight the giant. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, called him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Watch verse 37. David said moreover, watch this. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David, hey, he'd seen what God could do. He knew what the Lord had done for him before. And then you'll remember that gave him the faith that he needed to step out there and to go fight the giant. And here in our text, we see why David could encourage himself in the Lord. And I want to say something to you. David knew what God did for him there with the lion. David knew what God did for him there out there when he came against the bear. And now David knows what happened when he even came against the giant. And can I just tell you something, child of God, if God can do it one time, God can do it again. Oh, we need to remember this, because think about, we talk about the children of Israel over there in the wilderness. Well, they're crying for the manna. God delivers the manna. They're crying for water. They went 3 days in the wilderness, found no water. God delivers the water. And over, he supplies their need. Over and over, he deals with their infirmities. And the next day, it's like God can't do anything. Well, we see that, we think, look at how they are. We're the same way. I'm the same way. The truth of the matter is, we need to remember, whoo, the things God's brought us through. Can I just tell you this, friend? He's the same God yesterday and today and forever. What he did for, I'm glad I serve the same God as Elijah. I'm glad I serve the same God as Moses. I'm glad I serve the same God as Joshua. And I'm glad this morning that we serve the same God as David. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what tragedy may have struck your life. I don't know what problem you may be going through, a storm that you may be fighting you. I don't know what bad news you receive. I don't know what it is that's turned your world upside down. But I want to say this morning, every single one of us have watched God walk into a storm and the waves cease. Every one of us have watched God walk into our storm and see the wind stop. And all of us have seen God make a way when there was no way. All of us have seen God do what they said could not be done. And if God can do it one time, God can do it again. God help us to never forget that. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had seen God work before. He had seen God move before. When there was not one person in this world that David could turn to. There wasn't one person in this world David could find encouragement in. Listen to me, friend. I'm going to be there for you absolutely. If there's any way possible, I'm going to be there for you. There may be a time I can't be there for you. But woo! I'm going to tell you he'll always be there for you. Boy, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad, listen, God, give us encouragement. We can always find comfort and encouragement for him. Hey, you've been trusting this far. He's not going to let you down. What do you do when nobody encourages you? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Notice the second thing. David inquired at the Lord. Verse number 8, back in our text of chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 8. Look at the Bible says, not only do we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, we need to inquire of the Lord. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. If you back up, you find out David goes to Abiathar the priest. Of course, back then, that's what they'd pray. They'd go and get he got the ephod. He's going to listen to him. You know what David's doing? He's entering into the throne room, friend. He's going to the one who can answer his problem and answer. I wonder this morning, I want to ask you something. Whatever situation you're dealing with or problem you're going through, who are you going to for advice? Because the truth of the matter is, we go to everybody else, but who we ought to be going to? We go to everybody else before we go to the Lord. Man, we take our problem. Listen, David didn't call every person he knew and tell them about his problem. David didn't post on Facebook for prayer requests. I'm not against that. You want to do that? That's fine. That's the first. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you tonight, this morning. David didn't, first thing he did, get on Facebook and post a prayer request. David got down on his hands and knees. David put his face in the ground and he began to call upon God. Can I tell you, Jeremiah 33:3 still says, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. David said, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. Where are you going for advice to your problems? I've said before, I don't take financial advice from broke people. Right? Where are you? Listen, ladies, if you've got a problem in your marriage, don't go to your man-hating friend that never liked him in the first place to give you advice. Somebody help me. Don't listen. Take it to the Lord. Don't take it to your mama that don't like him. Go talk to his mama. Yeah. Find some older, godly woman that's been married for a long time. Go talk to her. Talk to the man of God that he's put in your life. Listen, you're dealing with a wayward son or daughter. Don't go to the town gossip and tell them all about it so they can just make matters worse. Keep contact in heaven. Prayer works. Oh, what an indictment against the born-again believer. We find it in James. He says, you have not, because you ask not. We need to learn how to ask God and then wait. How many people have I talked to, folks? Listen to me. I understand, but a lot of it's not even a thing that it's not you're not that spiritual, or you don't know your Bible, or you don't know what to do. I understand many times just because we don't know what to do. We're consumed with fear. We're paralyzed by the situation and by the moment, and even just the elementary steps we need somebody to help us with. I get that. But how many folks you just talk to and say, have you prayed about it? Well, God help us to take it to everybody else. What to do when you don't know what to do? Encourage yourself in the Lord. He's the same God. Inquire at the Lord. I want you to notice the third thing. I got to move on. Exercise obedience in the Lord. Look at verse number 8 again. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? Lord, what should I do? Should I go after him? And he answered him, watch this. Aren't you glad God answers us? Might not be the answer we want. And he answered him, pursue. Verse number 10. Watch this now. But David pursued. I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes you counsel with folks and you give them biblical counsel. You come to me, I'm going to give you a Bible answer. And you tell them, well, this is how we ought to handle it. This is the right way. It's what the Bible says. And about 2 months later, nothing wrong with having needing to talk over and over. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal. About 2 months later, they'll come back. Same problem, same situation. He says, now, wait a minute. We talked about this. Have you been doing this? Well, no, I did so-and-so. David didn't just ask the Lord, but then David obeyed the Lord. Don't come and ask for advice if you're not going to listen. If you're not going to listen to the advice. In times like these, listen, many people begin to lean to their own understanding. David knew he didn't have the answers. This thing was a whole lot bigger than he is. How many times have I faced things that's so much bigger than anything I could handle? It's way outside of any wisdom I have, way outside of any ability I have. This thing is a God thing. By the way, everything is. He didn't have the answer. Many times we begin to lean to our own understanding when stuff happens. And we make fleshly, carnal decisions, unspiritual decisions. Sometimes we're hurt, we lash out in anger. Sometimes when it seems everything we love has been taken away, we become desperate and sometimes don't make the best decisions. Some of you, I shared with you some time ago about a lady, just the story just fits. But a lady in a good friend of mine's church, she had lost her husband 30 years old with esophageal cancer. Had two young daughters. And she came out, it was nearing the time, and I'm going to cut the story short, but it's nearing the time that he's fixing to go home. I mean, the time's about up. She came out that morning, the services, met the pastor at the back door, and she said, preacher, pray for me. And she said, I am. He said, I am. Mandy said, I'm praying for Jim. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, Jim's all right. He said, I thought she's just in denial. He said, Mandy, I told her, Jim's not all right. I mean, if God don't do something, he's not going to. He just wanted to be real with her. She said, no, you don't understand. I was there when he got saved. He's going to glory. Jim's all right. Pray for me, preacher. Then she said this. Pray that I don't fail God. She said, I've seen it so many times throughout my life where stuff like this happens and people's world turned upside down and they just turn their back on God or they begin to act crazy and begin to act. She said, preacher, pray that I don't fail God. He said, he tells a story about going and laying the little girls in daddy's arms just before he passed away. A couple of months later, he's in his study coming out just as the service is starting. He came in the back doors like that, coming down the... He said just before he came in the doors, the choir got up and began to sing. They're singing a song, Safe Thus Far. Some of you may remember that song or know that song. I've just came from the throne room today. I've been talking with him. And I'm reminded of where he brought me from and where I could have been. I've sailed through storms rough and deep, but someone sailed along with me. And he said, I wonder... who's going to sing that lead part? That main part, you know, they have the choir singing, then somebody steps out and sings the lead. He said, I come through the back doors there. He said, it's about that time for that lead part. There she came like a champion, had that microphone in her hand. I just came from the throne room today. It was that old girl that he had been praying for. You know what? She got the victory. You know why? Because she exercised obedience in the Lord. Do what God says. I'm sure many of them thought, it's no use now. Man, the city's burned. Our stuff's gone. I believe many times, listen, they thought, understand, I want you to understand, the tradition was to kill the wives and to take the children and use them as slaves. That was a tradition back in those days. And I believe many times when we find ourselves fighting for some things that we love and fighting for something that's sacred to our lives as a Christian, it's that God is just wanting to see if we'll be obedient to Him, if we'll be obedient to His Word, if we'll just simply do what God's told us to do. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been at places in my life where all I knew to do, just being honest with you, I knew what the Bible said. I'd read and studied. I've studied this book. I know there's people who know a whole lot more than I do, but I promise you, I do live with this book. And I know what the Bible says. But I'm just being honest with you where I was in my mental state. All I knew to do was to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep doing what I've been doing and watch God work. Well, listen, I've been there. I know what it is to be there. And sometimes we get to a place and we begin to take matters in our own hands, like we can fix the problem. We got to make a decision. Are we going to obey God, God's Word? Wait on the Lord? Or are we going to do it our way? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Number one, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Listen, remember, you may lose everything. You won't. But there's one thing you cannot lose, and that's the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Sometimes we just got to put things into perspective. What's the worst that can really happen? I die and wake up in heaven. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just got to, because we allow these, we make mountains out of molehills, we allow these minuscule problems and minuscule things to become something that just absolutely takes over our life. Remember, He's the same God today as He was yesterday. You watched Him do it before. Don't you ever doubt that He can't do it again. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Inquire at the Lord. Hey, take it to God. Exercise obedience in the Lord. God shows you what to do. He tells you what to do. Do it. And He'll see you through like He's always seen you through. You're looking at a preacher whose back's been against the wall. Frozen. Instinct kicked in, and all my Christian teaching eventually finally kicked in, and training kicked in. I began to take that thing to the Lord. I began to take it to the Lord. And I watched God do things that's outside of the realm of possibility. God can do it. Let's stand for prayer. You know, I remember when I first came here, I got up, and I wasn't even the pastor yet. I was just here, and I was preaching that morning. And I preached on, some of you remember this. Many, and I don't go through the whole testimony, but many of you know my testimony. We were making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in the mortgage business. God was blessing. We walked away from that. And I don't ever take it as if you know, I took a demotion, okay? I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you this. I'm way better off now than I was then. Don't ever think I've gave up anything for the Lord. But the reality is where we were. We had plenty of money at that time. But had spent some years as an assistant pastor making nothing, really, hardly, and just struggling. I mean, we were having a tough time. But we came in. I preached that morning on gratitude. Told a story about some things that had happened at a former church. Who remembers what happened that morning? They came in and lined this place up with bags of groceries. They didn't know what I was going to preach on. I could go on all day. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Inquire at the Lord. Then exercise obedience in the Lord. There's a systematic plan. And just wait on God and watch God do what we can't do. Amen. While we sing, why don't you come do business with the Lord? Maybe you should come encourage yourself in the Lord this morning. Maybe there's somebody here with a spiritual problem. You're not saved. You can leave with that settled this morning. Come now.